This morning, in the series that we are continuing in on being a faithful church member, we're going to be looking at our fifth vow of membership and looking at the scriptures as it pertains to that. And that fifth vow is this: will you devote yourself to the church's teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing as we come to preach your word this morning. I pray that you would bless us with your power, that the Spirit of God may be in us, that you would give us your mind, Lord, that you would encourage us in our commitments to your church, in our service to Christ and his people, God, that you would be glorified in our lives. So open your word up to us, we pray. Amen. In this fifth vow of membership, again, I'll read it: will you devote yourself to the church's teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and of prayers? Here is the commitment given by the one covenanting with this local body that they will be faithful in their participation in this church and the affairs of the church. Will you devote yourself to the church's teaching? What does that mean? It means being present at Bible study Sunday morning, 10 a.m. It means being faithful to be present at our 11 a.m. Lord's Day worship service. It means being faithful to join us in our prayers and study that we do on Wednesday night. And that's a Zoom one. Will you devote yourself to the church's teaching and fellowship? For we, when we gather in our three stated services, yes, we're being taught, but we're also fellowshipping. There's a time where we see each other. There's that fellowship amongst us, the encouragement in our relationships and our commitment to Christ and one another as we would gather. The breaking of bread is a reference to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread and the prayer. So that comes to, you know, we do that on the Lord's Day morning once a month in our worship service. Prayers, and we mentioned Wednesday night, I mean, being faithful in our prayers in relationship to the church, both publicly and privately. So this is also, so on the one hand, it is a commitment to, yes, I will be a faithful participant in this church. So you have stated meetings. Are you going to be faithful in your participation, your presence? That's kind of like the foundational, you have to be here. And heartfelt and faithful participation in those things. And then in your living out of those things in your own life and home, devoted to these things, the church's teaching, fellowship, and prayers. So in other words, I'm also committing to, I'm not just going to come and be taught, but I'm also going to be reading my Bible. I'm also going to be looking into the Word of God as it relates to those things that have been preached and taught in the church, and thus be growing and equipping myself to even benefit more from the teaching of the church. The more you know your Bible, the more you're likely to get from the sermons, the more you're going to understand of the things that are also being said. The fellowship there, yes, that is our meetings that's together as the church, but do my friendships matter? You know, do I have fellowship with God's people and pray for them? And are God's people on my mind and such? So in other words, both corporately and in private, the vow is saying that the one desiring a covenant with his church will be faithful in these things. And this one has always been a great struggle for this church, a tremendous struggle in seeing people who are faithful to this commitment. Even though everyone takes the vow and renews this vow every time a new member joins the church, there has been a tremendous struggle in many, many people to faithfully live this out. And we see it in attendance. We see it in the absence of so many week after week after week and in patterns and such. And let me just say right up front, I'm going to make this qualification one time and I'm not going to make it again. There is the understanding that there are times when there is real sickness and somebody cannot participate, when there's real providential circumstances and someone can't participate. We understand that's a reality we understand, and we're not talking about those kinds of absences or that sort of lack of participation because someone is generally being hindered from being here. So we're speaking to the norm, though. We're speaking to what is our commitment outside of truly not being able to participate. So that's it. I'm not going to qualify the whole rest of the message away. The manner of many people, not just in our own church, but in churches in general, is a manner of forsaking the assembly. Never quite knowing, is so-and-so going to be here or not? Actually, there are some services we just about count on. Well, we know certain so-and-sos will not be here because they're never here for those services. Hebrews, in addressing this very subject, says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Let me give you some context to that, though. If we back up in Hebrews back to verse 19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So that's a reference to the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. So spiritually speaking, by the blood of Christ, we go into the holy place of God, into his very presence. We go in by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. By Christ's sacrifice for us, by his giving himself up to be crucified for us, we are cleansed from our sins as we believe in Jesus Christ and have access to the Lord. And Jesus is our high priest, verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God. So note, all this imagery is of the temple. It's the house of God. We have access into God's house by Christ. Then he says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near. So how is it that we draw near? What is this drawing near as we have been cleansed by the blood of Christ? Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We draw near as we hold fast to the profession of our faith. How do we hold fast to the profession of our faith? We grow in our faith. We grow more and more into Christ's likeness. This is our sanctification. As we lay fast to the profession of our faith, the commitment of our faith, we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And, well, how do we do that in the text? Verse 23, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. One of the ways, and very important ways we do this, is considering one another, being mindful of one another, to provoke one another to good works, to be godly influences in one another's lives, to encourage us, provoke us to press forward in Jesus Christ. This, then, is an aid to our drawing near. And then in verse 25, we have our text, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. See, verse 24 and 25 go together. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but we exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We should be ever more diligent in this regards, in other words, for the day is approaching. We should be more diligent in this regards today than we were last week. We should be growing in this commitment to exhort one another and How do we do that if we forsake the assembling of ourselves together? How do we sit under the exhortation of the Word of God from the minister and the teacher if we forsake the assembling of ourselves together? How do you encourage your brother or sister in the Lord if you forsake the assembling of yourselves together? There are some words that we will not hear today in our fellowship because mouths aren't here to breathe them. There is some fellowship that some of us must be robbed from today because the pew is empty. How do we live this out if we forsake the assembling of ourselves together? And it's interesting that it says, as is the manner of some. As is the manner of some. Meaning, it's almost as the text anticipates, hey, you're not forsaking the assembling of yourself together when you are at home sick with COVID. That's an exception. I'm sick. I'm genuinely sick. I've been truly providentially hindered, or something that's truly a thing, but there's a manner of some. This manner of some, it's not talking about the person who truly has a health problem or a sickness or some other form of providential hindrance, but a manner. What does it look like to have a manner of forsaking the assembly? That means a pattern, a sustained pattern of doing this. And I know I said I wasn't going to major on the exception or press it, but yeah, there's some people with health issues, there can be what looks like a pattern of absence due to health issues that's not illegitimate. Like there are shut-ins, for instance, and older people with health issues and such that this can become a challenge. We recognize that. So I don't want to speak too callously regarding those things or be callous regarding those things. But those who are able, which is generally true, generally speaking, of the general congregation, but then having a manner of not being there. Something to ask ourselves regarding our own faithfulness to the vow that we made, that Scripture anyway holds us accountable to in regards to being faithful to participate in the church, is what is your manner? One of the ways to ask the question, what is my manner in regards to my participation in the church, beginning with its services? It's got to start there, and I'll come back to that in a minute. Do the officers know from meeting to meeting if you're going to be there or not? Just ask yourself that question. What if you were me? What if you were the pastor thinking about, is so-and-so going to be here today at this service? Would you think, well, sure, I'm expecting you to be there. Or, if you were honest with yourself, well, he probably wouldn't know one way or the other if I'd be here. Or he certainly knows I'm not going to be here. See, it's not just the pastor who observes that, but others observe it too. Others observe it in the church, whether or not somebody is faithfully in attendance or is spotty or becoming very inconsistent in this regards. It's a violation of the Scripture. It's a violation of what we committed to when we believed in Christ to begin with. It's a violation of the vow we make when we join this church. We are saying that we are committed to this and we're going to do it. And yet, if truth be told, very, very few do. Very, very few do. And I'm talking about the stated meetings of the church. Let us not even get into the special things that we call for, whether it's park evangelism or special activities or what have you with that. The history has been very, very bad on that. Anything we've ever tried to do will have a good showing the first time. The second time it drops off. And by the third or fourth time, it's the officers. Just pick whatever it was we've endeavored to do. And this is a pattern that's not unique to us. By the way, this is typical in churches. Typical. It's often said that 10% of the people do 100% of the work in the churches. 10% of the people give 99% of the resources, of the finances to the church, and so forth and so on. It is a shame. It is a great sin. God has called us in Christ to be a part of His church and a faithful member of the church. But how do we do that if we're not even present? If we're not even present, what does it say about in private how my prayers and thoughts are for my church family? You see, the failure to be faithful in this regards affects us in many ways, but in two primary for this message that I'm going to speak to. One is it affects us spiritually. It affects us in our walk with Jesus Christ to be unfaithful in our commitment to the local church. Secondly, it affects us in our ability and service. In other words, you will do less for Christ, and your life will be less for Christ if you're unfaithful in this area. And I'll give some examples of that and why. When we speak of the church as a means of grace, you know, that God works in and through us. And in this case, we talk about it being a means of grace to draw us closer to Christ. I mean, in our context in verse 22, remember, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of the faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, and let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. And all this is tied directly to not forsaking your sin. That's the first thing it says not to do, as it's calling us to progress in the faith and to grow in our love and our service to Jesus Christ. And then it says, and here's what you don't do. You don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together like some people have a habit of doing. So this is pretty important when we talk about our life before the Lord, our growth spiritually, our growth in our relationship with Jesus Christ, and our experiential relationship with God. When we forsake the church and we forsake the faithfulness to the attendance of the very meetings of the church, we are robbing ourselves of the blessings of God in Christ. We are stunting our sanctification. We are hobbling ourselves spiritually. It's like waking up on Sunday morning and I've got a bit of the snipple, so I'm not going in, so we just cut off a foot or something. Don't do that. The church is a means of grace, and what God is doing in and through His people here, it is important to our spiritual lives. It is also, in regards to our service, something that either opens doors to further service or closes doors to further service. How does it do that? So in your ability to serve others, to pray for others, to know what's going on in people's lives, having a moment to exhort one another, to encourage somebody with a word face to face and such, if we are habitually absent, we miss all those moments. We miss those moments to hear from God from His word in the public ministry of the church. We miss those moments in our fellowship one with another to be able to do this encouraging, do this exhorting of one another. We miss that. And we miss the sanctification that the book of Hebrews is saying comes along with that. And this, in turn, affects our ability to minister to others. It doesn't just hurt us, it hurts other people. Again, because without the mouth, there is no exhortation. Without the presence, there isn't the touch of love and fellowship and concern. For this to work, we have to be here. For there to be ministry, you have to have a people. You have to have a congregation. A second way this affects in opportunity to serve and to live out our faith and to grow, I'll give you one that's very practical but very visible, and I'll use the officers of the church as an example for this. What do you say? We need a deacon. And the church or the elder puts forward a man for the office of deacon who we're not quite sure from service to service whether he's going to be here. Do you think the church is going to give a hearty amen and vote for that individual to serve in an office when he can't even be here faithfully? Just think about it for a moment. Would you say, yep, that person also needs the extra responsibility of everything the office of deacon requires? How would we think such a man would achieve that if he can't even be here faithfully, consistently? Now we're going to give more responsibility? What about an elder? What if I were habitually out? I'll give you an example from my own past to consider. So I came into this church and ultimately become the pastor of this church in time. God's given me an opportunity to minister here among you. When I first came to this church, I had an active case of very severe ulcerative colitis. So that is where your large intestine, the lining of your large intestine ulcerates and bleeds. And it would make me sick. I mean, nauseous sick, vomit sick and stuff. Plus everything that comes along with that, like being on the toilet 15 times a day and stuff. It's horrible. My wife can attest to those years when I had the active ulcerative colitis. And there would be days when I would be so sick, we would drive to church and my skin is completely, I mean, I would say my skin was pale, well, paler than this even, sweating, sick as a dog, and come sit in the pew. Just sick. It wasn't a contagious disease. And I guess I could have said on those really bad days, I could have just stayed home. But I didn't. I came to church. I'm going to be sick anyway. Nobody's going to catch this. It's not that kind of disease. And hey, there's a toilet right there. So I'd come to church and I'd pop up and run to that toilet maybe three times. And for years, we did that. Well, the church in time laid hands on me to be a deacon. And later on, it laid hands on me to be an elder. And later on, it laid hands on me to be the senior pastor of the church. And I ask you this question. Would I have had the opportunity to serve the church in any of those capacities if in those years I'd been like, you know, I'm just too sick to go today. I'm just going to stay home. Now, I'm not judging somebody if they have a disease like that and they choose to stay home. That's an exceptional case. But I'll tell you this, there's no way I would have been made an officer in the church if I stayed out all the times that I was having a severe flame-up of ulcerative colitis. I would have been out a lot, would have been very inconsistent. And maybe it wouldn't have been deemed that I was unfaithful. People would have understood it. I have a condition or whatever. But you certainly wouldn't say, that's the guy we need to put extra responsibility on. That's the guy who needs to bear more responsibility and formally in the church. It'd been more like, poor guy, you know, he's really struggling with that. You know, obviously God isn't calling him to these other services. And if I really couldn't have been here, that would be true. Where did I get that? Well, it's the grace of God, number one. And I wasn't doing it to be an officer in the church. I was just being a member of the church. And like I said, I would go to work that way too. I would go to work that way too, because it's like the world doesn't cut you any slack. You know, I'm going to be sick at home or at work, so I'm going to work. Where did that come from? That came from God's word preached to me by Pastor Charles Alleygood. My pastor before here drilled it into me from the scripture about being faithful to the church. Faithful in attendance, because I was kind of spotty before that. Now, I wasn't too spotty because I always knew you were supposed to be in church, but at the same time, my convictions on it weren't what they were until that pastor unleashed the word on me, and I saw it by God's grace. This is important. I need to always be here in every stated meeting, unless I absolutely am providentially hindered to do so. God has a place for me there. I have my own role in the pew to play here. And it was the work of God. And it's the work of God, I pray, for every member in this church to see your important place and calling in the church. It affects us spiritually to be inconsistent here, and it affects our ability to serve others being inconsistent in this area. I'm going to bring us around to this question. Why is it that we are inconsistent in this area? Why is it we struggle with this area? Why did I struggle with it so hard before my old pastor unleashed the word of God on me and God's Spirit did a work in my heart to change my heart regarding this? I think one example, one answer is in the book of Haggai. So in Haggai, God has sent the exiles back from Babylon to rebuild the temple. There was some persecution, there were some problems, so they stopped. And then time goes on, and they never pick the work back up again in building God's house. So in verse 3 of Haggai, it says, "Then the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie in waste?" Your sealed or paneled houses. The idea of the paneled house is they're living in comfort. Is it right? Is it fitting? Is this what you need to be doing with your time, to live in your comfort while the house of God lies in waste? You see, that's the manner of many today. That's the manner of many today when it comes to the church. We need to be about, for instance, the building up of God's house, His church. Right there at that level. How do we do that if people aren't here? I can't tell you how my heart has been in my belly so many times over the years to see guests walk through that door and less than half of our people are here. And they're looking around like, well, this is a dead church. When you're small, it really matters. You think about the importance of your presence and your participation in the church. You're in a small church. That magnifies the contribution you make just by being here. Think of such a small thing. Just being here is a huge deal for this church. As we would seek to see God's house grow, as we would seek to see others come and join us and want to be a part of this thing. When there's a poor showing on Sunday morning, people tend not to come back. People tend to think nothing is going on there. But we stay home. And we stay home because of sniffles. Or I was up late Saturday night. Or I don't feel good. Or the kids are sick, or all the kinds of excuses we often use. And what we're actually saying is, today, you know, it's just too difficult today. Today, there's a hurdle in front of me that it's not a providential hindrance where I really can't, but I'd rather be in my paneled house. I'd rather rest physically. I'd rather take the day off than go and do that. You know, we have families over the years. And again, it's a habit, it's a pattern, it's a manner. One kid's sick in the family, the whole family's out. How many times have I seen the husband is sick, the wife's not sick, and she comes to church? Women, you're a unicorn if that's you. How many times the wife's sick, but the husband's in church? No, but we can have one child sick in a family of four, five, six, and the whole family's out. And that is a pattern. It's a pattern. And when families are out and they claim sickness, we're out because we're sick. It's like, are all of you sick? Are both husband and wife sick? Is it everybody? And when that becomes a manner of some, you hear that with some frequency over the year. We're all sick. It's like, it may be true, but ordinarily, we're not all sick at the same time. Monday morning we're all around, and Dad goes to work. We can do work. We seem to get through the week meeting the commitments we need to make. But when it comes to church, the smallest thing, and we're not there. I'm telling you, it's a manner of some. It's a habit, and it's bad. It's unfaithful to Christ, to his church, and a violation of your membership vow. We do it because we're lazy. It's laziness. It's we lay in our paneled house while the Lord's house would lie waste with our absence, and God hates it. In verse 5, it says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in bags with holes." God's blessing is removed from them. That's why I say it matters to us spiritually, the relationship that we have to the church and our faithfulness to it. God sees, God knows. Will we trouble ourselves a little to be faithful to be in the church? Will we have that mindset that, you know, we just don't miss church? Unless we absolutely have to, we just don't miss church. I mean, that's what it takes. I'm not missing unless I absolutely have to. And if that is your mindset, if you're, and that basically is, Pastor, that's a lot. No, that's just being committed. That's just basic commitment. I don't miss church unless I absolutely have to. And when you're faithful like that, everybody else can see it too, who's faithful. Some people don't know who's actually faithful in this church in this regard and who's not, because they're out so much they wouldn't know. Is that not true for those of you who know what I'm talking about? These things ought not to be. We should be faithful in this commitment, and we should not be lazy. Be quick to make the excuse for why I can't be at church, but recognize the importance of it for myself and for others that I be there, and commit ourselves unto it. Because when we don't, we rob ourselves and others of the blessing, which is a very unchristian thing to do. I'm reminded of exit interviews with people who, let me give you just a few examples of our madness when we give ourselves to spiritual lethargy. People who will, because when people leave the church, you know, we have the exit interview. They say why they're leaving and such. And, you know, you'll have people who are like, one instance, I'm going to give you two different kinds of examples. I'm not, and these are real, these have happened, and in more than once, I'm just not learning what I want to learn. I'm not growing as I want to grow. There's more than I want, and I'm not, and it's like, but you don't come to Bible study, or very rarely do. You are spotty in your attendance on the Lord's Day when the Word of God is being preached and taught, and when we can talk about it afterwards and these sorts of things. And now you're leaving the church because you don't feel like you're growing enough in your knowledge of Scripture and your things of God. But of course you're not growing. Of course you're not growing, because you're hardly here. Or your hereness is so spotty that you are only getting a small fraction of the ministry of the church to start with. And here's the other whopper. I mean, I haven't heard this one for a while, but I've heard this more than once, and it tended to be more in years past, but it's this one. And it's the people who would say, you know, we just don't feel like we're getting enough fellowship here. We want to go to another church where we can get more fellowship. And it's like, you want more fellowship, but you don't come, you're gone over half of our fellowship meals. You're spotty in your attendance to the services of the church. You've never invited me over to your home or anybody else, as far as I know. You missed Reformation Day when we got together in October, and so forth and so on. There's a pattern of that where people will talk about that they are spiritually famished. There are things they're missing. And I'm like, you're right. You are not getting those here. But it's because you're not here. Come tell me you're having those struggles after you're present and you're here and sitting under the ministry and sitting under the fellowship. And now, if you're not getting the things that you need in teaching and encouragement and fellowship, well, now you have a legitimate thing for us to look at. Well, why is that? Where maybe are we falling down in what we need to do to be a faithful church to you? But to complain of those things when it's really because you're not here to receive them is kind of like, it's a spiritual madness, isn't it? Makes you want to pull any hair you have left out. It's like, can't you see what you're doing here? It does matter. It does affect us spiritually. And for those people who I'm using it as an example here, my heart goes out to them. I get it. I bet you're really struggling. I bet you really are. Because I think about what it's like for me when I am generally sick and I've had to miss church. And I go 2 whole weeks before I'm back at a Lord's Day with God's people. I feel that. I can see its effect. I come back like out of a desert if I've had to miss a Lord's Day. Imagine when that is your pattern. In a Lord's Day, at a Lord's Day, missing a Lord's Day a month or more, never attending the Bible studies, never praying together on Wednesday nights. Imagine. No, let us be faithful to these things. There's a reason this is in our membership vows. It's one of the basic commitments to being a faithful member of a church. So, Pastor, he's so strict. He requires so much of us that you be here. I've said in the past, butts in pews are the very beginning of the work. Butts in pews, that's very crude, Pastor. It's true. Doesn't take anything but putting a butt in a pew. But if we don't have a butt in a pew, I'm not going to make a rhyme out of that. If we don't have butts in a pew, then what else can we do? In the absence of the congregating and coming together, what other things do we go on to do as a church? And there's your reason why any kind of ministry and outreach we've ever tried to do, even outside of our stated members, starts with a group of people, the next time fewer, and the next time I jokingly say the officers plus one, maybe. And then we say, well, people aren't showing up to do this, so I guess we're not going to do this anymore. I mean, 20 years of that. People sometimes, and some people who have left would say, I really want to see this church grow. I want to see it be blessed. I want to see people coming in and such. And let me just give you a vision for this. Right now, look around the building. I've done this before. Look at the empty pews. Look at all this empty space in here and ask yourself, what if everybody who's a member of this church were here now? What if our regular visitors who haven't joined yet, but they're regularly with us, what if they were here too? What would it look like? And a visitor comes through that door at the beginning of a service. And we're all here, we're on time, we're not coming in the middle of the service late. Hey, I'd rather you be late than not at all, but we should try to be here on time, right? And we're all here. What do you think that says to the visitor coming through? What does that say to the other brothers and sisters here to look around and see, hey, everybody's here? How does that encourage them in their steadfastness and commitment to Christ and the church? This is a powerful thing. And it's just butts in pews. It's just being here. And yet, for many, just so many days, that's just too much. How do we go on to greater things until we're consistent in our basic participation in the services of the church? How do we change that? I mean, I've been a minister here for 20 years. I don't really know how to change it. You know, for me, it was a work of God in my heart. But I think to each one who's hearing this message, how you change that is you changing. If just one of you who is inconsistent, if just one of you right now today, if I had one person from this message say, It was like Pastor Elligood preaching to me all those years ago. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to change my ways. And I'm going to be that. I'm going to be consistent and I'm going to be faithful. If just one of you did that, how big an impact would it be? Massive. Massive impact on this church. Why? Because there's so few who you know they're going to be there. You just know. Whenever we gather, whenever we meet, that person's going to be there. It's the officers plus one. And usually the plus one might be different as to who that is. If you hear this message today and you're like, that's going to be me. I'm going to be committed to Christ Church and serving Him to where I'm going to be there. Huge. If two of you did it, I mean, earth shattering for this church. If three of you did it, now we're talking about world changing. Am I not right? Speaking to the deacon and the elder, if three, boy, when the church has its stated meetings, these people are Johnny on the spot. They are there. We can count on them. If three of you. What about four? I mean, I'm dreaming now, right? But it ought to be. It ought to be all of us. It ought to be all of us. And if it was all of us, oh, the things that God would do. But hey, it'd be a big deal to see one of you do it. It really would. Just one person change and say, I'm going to be that. I'm going to commit that way. And I guarantee you, if that's you, you will see the blessing of the Lord. You will. You'll look back at a future date and say, wow, that was one of those life-changing moments in my faith when I stepped up to that. That changed me. People talk about like when they became a Calvinist, how, oh, wow, there's so much change that I thought about how big God is and these different moments in the Christian faith that change you. If you're one of those that has a manner of being inconsistent in the attendance of the stated meetings of the church, and you commit to being faithful, it will change your life. You will have a different walk with Christ. You will have a different zeal and a different desire. I absolutely guarantee you. For God caused them not to prosper in Malachi's day, right? In Haggai's day, for being lazy in their houses when they should have been building the temple. And God had withheld blessing. And God does that today for that same sin. But on a positive note, God blesses those who are faithful here. So be encouraged in that. And I call upon us all to be faithful to this. But if there can be one who will hear and step up to this, it will be one more. It'll be one more that we can count on in this way. What will you do with this truth? What will you do with God's word and his calling and the commitment that he's calling you to with the church, with the vow that you took in vow 5 when you joined this church? Let us be faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your church. We thank you for the blessing that it is. We ask your forgiveness, Lord, if we've taken it for granted, if we've been inconsistent, if we've been lazy. Lord, I just pray that you would work in our hearts, Lord, a zeal and, Lord, a faith in your word as it relates to being faithful, to be in attendance, to participate, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but to be those among the faithful who, Lord, God's people can count on, that when we gather, there they will be. For there Christ is, O Lord, in the midst of us. In Jesus' name, amen.